everybody, and welcome to the EC Method. I am one of your coaches, Chloe Madeley.
And I am your other coach, Emma Story Gordon. Our goal at the EC Method is to encourage, educate, and empower you to get the results that you've always wanted.
Listen to our weekly podcasts, go to our website, theecmethod.co.uk, or simply follow us on Instagram to get more information.
Didn't it sound like her?
Oh, shit.
That's exactly like the lady.
Thank you. I am known for my impression. Are we live?
We're live, babe.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for all of your messages. They have been very lovely, and I felt very supported by our little EQ family yesterday. We'll just address it, and then we'll just move on to what we do. My dad, obviously, I woke up to a phone call very early in the morning saying that my dad had been taken to hospital, which is everybody's worst nightmare, and it was absolutely horrifying. But we're really lucky in that we knew by midday that he was absolutely fine, and it was just a scare. We'd all spoken to him by the afternoon, and he was on his way home by dinner time. So it was a very short-lived.
Did you have McDonald's for dinner?
Yeah, Dad loves the cheese, 99p cheeseburger. And on the phone, he was like, don't get me one of the big ones. I want the small one, the 99p one. I'm like, yes, Dad, we all know. I go. So he was on his way home. He can't go back into camp because of COVID restrictions. And it actually goes a little bit deeper in terms of the real, you know, technicalities and specifics of that reasoning. He cannot go back in. So he's home. And it's fantastic to have him back, and he's healthy, and that's all that matters. But you guys were lovely, and thank you so much. And yeah, it's upsetting because I think he would have won it personally. I'm biased.
I think so too. He was the biggest favorite.
He is just the best man I know, and I think it just came across, and I was so happy that it did, because you never know. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. And I suppose now we will get to the questions.
Any questions? Also, I just need to draw attention to this drink, which is the best drink I've ever had. Have you ever had it?
Yeah, I've had it before. It's really good.
Unbelievable. Okay, we can continue now.
Okay, Emma, do you have any admin or anything? Do you want to talk about the webinar that you guys are doing?
Oh, yeah. So we're doing a webinar tomorrow for Women's Aid. I will post the link in the group. There's a donation amount. If you can't donate that amount, then any kind of donation would be very appreciated. The webinar is, so my talk will be really useful to everyone on the EC Method. It's kind of directed at that, at you guys, essentially. But it's like mindset barriers to making change and how you can change from a place of positivity as opposed to negativity, and how you can avoid restriction and resentment when you're dieting. And different mental approaches to that. So I think it would be really useful to everyone. And then Amelia is going to talk more about body image and disordered eating. And so he's going to talk about whether we're normalizing disordered eating. And then we're going to have a panel discussion about sexism and diet culture and what we can learn from diet culture and maybe what we want to throw away. And a little bit on intuitive eating that Amelia is saying as well. So I think it will be really useful to people. So I'll share that in the group. The second admin thing is I posted up the grad sign up, which loads of you have already signed up to, which is amazing. It will be open, so you can sign up via that link until this round closes. And then if you haven't signed up, you can still sign up in January, but it will be a different link and you won't have access to the group in between, which I think is going to be a really nice group because there'll be less people in it, obviously, because there'll be no newbies. And I think it's just going to be a really nice supportive group. We're going to do like little scheduled sort of accountability posts and things like that. And you're going to have your workouts and you're going to have files from us to keep you on track. So I think it's going to be really, really useful. So I would sign up now because essentially you're just getting free coaching over the Christmas period.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
I've got two things to add to that. First of all, I love the webinar sounds fantastic because I think the audience is, every coach coaches for their audience and every coach has a different audience. So I think having like three coaches talking about one topic is going to be fascinating in terms of perspective. So that's really exciting and well done on all the hard work. So I know it's been a lot of work. And next week. So next week, by midweek, everybody who is coming back will have the kind of Christmas. It might be a file. I think it'll probably just be one, but it might be files plural. I might split it up. Just, I don't know. I'll see when I write it. So everyone will have that. And then off the back of that being uploaded, the last live that Emma and I are going to do is going to be very much about the festive period. So what you're going to do is you're going to have something, and obviously you will all have workouts assigned to you as well. And they're new. They're not from previous rounds. They're new. So that's great. So basically what you should have, if you have signed up, and please do sign up before the end of next week, guys, really, like it's important if you want to stay on that you do. You should have everything you need to be supportive over the festive period. And Emma's right. Just because we're not here doing lives every week and we're not, you know, replying, it doesn't mean that you're not going to essentially have some coaching foundations. And actually, you know what, Emma and I say this every round with the grads, and, you know, whether they're five rounds in grads or just one round in grads, you guys are so supportive. And a lot of you are like sponges. You really soak up what we're trying to say and the kind of the coaching methods that we have. And you're going to be really, really good at supporting each other. I would just say the only thing, and I will put this in the files, or maybe we'll just wait to read it, but, you know, be really, really supportive. But please don't any of you say to anybody else, like, I think you should drop your calories, for example. That's not what we want any of you to do in our absence, because that, you know, that's just irresponsible of us. And we do kind of have to touch on it. But in terms of supporting each other, you know what to do. You all know what to do. And the files will instruct it for you. So nobody should be making any changes or stabs in the dark in our absence.
Agreed. Also, we don't really, realistically, I'm trying to think of any situation. I don't think we have any one of our clients in this situation who needs to be really focusing on fat loss over the Christmas period. Like, yeah, you maybe want to keep things ticking over. You can still be in a deficit if you want to be, but we don't need to be making changes over that period of time. And if anything, like coming up to around maintenance for most people and getting a little bit more flexibility in there, which again, we will address on the next slide, is probably the best approach. So there shouldn't be anyone stressing out or making big changes anyway.
100%, or expecting anything other than probably quite dramatic weight fluctuations during that time. And that, again, is not a bad thing. Okay, so let's check. Do we have anything on the live before we get to the quizzes?
Him's just saying he would have won.
He fucking would have. And I love you, girl, for saying that, because he fucking would have. He's so sweet. It's so nice having him. Okay, here we go. Verity, my fave name. Hey up, ladies. That was a really bad Northern accent, and I'm Northern, sorry. Apologies if this has been asked before. How do I know what my maintenance calories are? Is it trial and error? I'm currently on 1700 to 1800 calories, doing 3 gym sessions and 60K steps per week. I want to plan for Christmas and feel confident in my choices and actions. Also, just thank you for helping me regain some love and patience with my own body. I'm learning to trust the process and go with it. Like one of them fairground wavy slides. Woo! I love that. And I love how Northern you are, even in your writing. Yes, guys, there is this huge misconception. I get this all the time with you guys and also with my one-to-one. So like, what are my maintenance calories? How do I know what my maintenance calories are? And it's like, first of all, we don't. It's a period of trial and error and we go from there. And second of all, again, it'll likely be in flux. You know, it's so dependent on so many things. But it's a period of trial and error. If you want to start increasing your calories, if you're on 1700 to 1800, I would say, why don't we come up to like 1900, carry on with your 3 gym sessions and 60K steps per week. And let's see what happens. You know, you're on the lower end of expenditure and the higher end of a deficit, if, you know, experience and data is anything to go by. So we are going to have to kind of watch where we can take you. But yeah, we do it 10% at a time, 100 calories at a time, see how you get on and go from there. Emma, what do you think about that?
I agree. I think that, and I also love your approach, and I love that you've said, like, I'm making choices. And I think that that's really important. It's like the autonomy of it, that those are your choices. And knowing that and reminding yourself that like, this is a choice that I'm making, means that you also celebrate your wins, because you're like, I'm in control of this. I made good choices and that's why I got results. And that's so, so important. So I love your general approach. I think coming up to maintenance, exactly as Chloe said, add 10%. If people are thinking about Christmas maintenance, I'd probably add 20%, because realistically, you're probably going to be in closer to a 20% deficit. That's very, like, as we're saying, these are very kind of vague numbers because we can't be that specific. The reason that we normally increase by 10% is because we kind of, like, most people like to increase a little bit slower so that they don't see any wet fat gain. You do gain, like, the tiniest amount of fat over Christmas by increasing by 20%. Not a big deal in the slightest. So at re-Christmas, I'd probably do that because it's probably closer to what your maintenance actually is. But yeah, I agree. For now, 10%.
Agreed. I also feel like you called fat wet then, which was interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like
I'm not, like, overly, you know, the days where you're like, you talk and then, I hope this doesn't happen tomorrow, but like, you talk and then you're not sure what words are coming out.
Oh, it happens to me all the time. And I always misspeak and say the wrong things. And then as soon as I close my mouth, I'm like, oh, that, I shouldn't have said that. Well, that was wrong. Sorry if I look slightly distracted. There's a lot of noise in my house right now. So Tajal says, quick question, newbie this round and I've signed up for January. On the app, will we lose the workouts for this round after it finishes? Yes, you will. Well, for me, yes, you will, in my opinion, but you will have new workouts. Emma, what do you say to that?
And the reason for this is at one point we were like, yeah, keep all your workouts, totally fine. But it gets so confusing, not only from a standpoint of you've got shit ton of workouts to look through. Some people are like, wait, which one should I be doing? Or which ones? And then on top of that, when you ask us questions, we're like, oh, which of the three options of workouts are you doing? It just gets really confusing. So basically we take off the ones from this round and we'll put on the new ones for the break.
Yeah, I get, guys, it's like, you know, when you have a menu and there's like pages and pages and pages, it's like, this is way too much. Sometimes it's just nice to have less options. And actually, multiple studies have shown that it's easier that way for all humans to function in life.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Like, we think that we want all of these choices, but actually decision fatigue kicks in. And then there's that really cool study about jam and how if you have, I think they compared two jam stalls, and it was like, if you have 20 options of different jams, which most people would say they want, they're like, oh yeah, I'd love to see like all these different flavors of jam and then I could pick a few. And you might think in your head, well, if there's 20 flavors, people are like, oh, I like that one and that one, I'll get three instead. But actually what happens is they have complete decision fatigue and they don't end up buying any. Whereas if you have three flavors, people bought more because they were like, yeah, I'm just gonna have that. Like, there's not a huge choice here. I don't really like those two, I'm gonna have that. But when there's too much, I don't know if the same happens with ice cream shops, because I do notice that, like, if I go into one and there's so many, I'm always like there for ages thinking about which one to get. And then I always end up getting one that's like pretty like bland.
It's interesting. It's like that with the yogurt study too, and people overeating with more choice.
Yeah.
When if you reduce the choice, their hunger cues and their understanding of when they're full is much more accurate because their brain, the psychology of eating and options is taken away, which that it just goes
like, yeah, there's an element of just wanting to try everything as well.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that the psychology of hunger and food and what you need to eat and actually the physiology are two completely separate categories. And the reason why we're in the shit heap that we're in is because we've merged the two and it's all got very confusing, which is why, you know, people, I probably feel really offended when Emma and I say things like, you know, we're not meant to be able to eat everything we want all the time for £1.50 on every street corner. It's not actually how we're built. I think people get upset by that, but it's like, in terms of the physiological approach to food and energy and intake and balance, that's absolutely accurate. Psychologically,
it's funny, isn't it? Because some people would be like, well, that's just like diet culture messaging, and I'm like, it's not really, it's human physiology. And like, it almost, like, sorry, but it doesn't really matter if you're offended by the fact that it isn't actually okay to unconditionally eat everything that you want all the time. Like, whether you feel restricted by that or not, like, that's due to your mindset approach to this as opposed to anything else. And I think reminding yourself, like, I really like taking certain aspects of intuitive eating, especially the line of, you have unconditional permission to eat whatever you want, whenever you want, right? But you don't stop there. You then say, but every choice that you make has a reaction, a response. Like, there's a consequence to every choice that you make. So if you do decide to eat three burgers, there's a consequence to that. And it might be that you're in an energy surplus. It might be that you put on body fat. Like, you can do whatever you want nutrition wise. It doesn't make you good or bad, but it's going to have consequences. And some of those choices will be in line with your goals and others won't. And that comes back to the autonomy. Like, it's you that's making that choice. And then like, approaching it in that way means that you don't feel like resentment or like you don't as negatively impact your relationship with food, because you're not saying I can't have this or this is a bad food or I shouldn't be eating this. You're saying I'm making this choice because it's in line with my goals, and that's an empowered choice.
Yeah,
so agree. But interestingly, the yogurt study as well, that you know how you always have like a pudding stomach, like a pudding, like I'm really full.
What did you just call my stomach?
Pudding, so, like, you specifically, Chloe, your stomach looks like pudding.
No. I have a
you know,
like, I can make my belly fat look like a donut if I really it looks like an exact donut, you just push it anyway, carry on.
Like if you're totally full after a meal and then someone's like, yeah, but do you want a little bit of ice cream? You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's always room for something sweet. And I think it's something about going between sweet and savory. Or like different textures or different flavors where you're like, well, I couldn't have any more of that, but I could definitely have something else.
I think it is psychological, and it's physiological in the sense that that's how we're made. We're made to want to eat for survival. And quite weirdly, you know, evolutionarily, we haven't adapted to that whatsoever. And the world will
probably weird though, like, because I think we think that we adapt quicker than we do, but like it takes thousands of years to like naturally select out these things. So potentially, you know, probably slightly different now that there's so many medical interventions and things, but at some point, if we stayed in this environment probably without like medical interventions, or maybe even with, if you have people that are obese and their life expectancy is much shorter, those genes will be bred out of the population if they're reproducing less, which again might not be the case either. So interesting.
Oh, what was that snap? What's it called when you say the same thing at the same time? What's it called?
Jinx.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, Chloe, my brain is not working. Do we have anything on the live?
Surly, I think that's how you say your name. Surly is saying finally made it to a live, and Kanchan saying separate stomach for dessert. It's true. Yeah.
Kanchan did a great post the other day. I very much enjoyed reading it. Okay. Hayley Roger. Hi, lovely ladies. So this is round three for me, and I've been in the fat loss stage for all of it. I'm 5'8". I'm averaging at 63 kg, which is down from 67 kg when I started. My question is, how long is it safe to stay in fat loss? I could easily stay at 1600 forever, but is that really a good number to stick to health-wise? I've obviously had a few times over three rounds that I've consumed more than the 1600, but I was just wondering, is it safe to stay in fat loss for a very long period of time? Thank you. So Hayley, the answer to this is both psychological and physiological. One, are you okay? Are you happy to stay here? How's your relationship with food? Would you freak out if we raise them? Because that's a problem, as much as you being really happy and healthy mentally on 1600 calories. The second way to look at it is physiologically. Do you still have body fat to lose? Because that's stored energy. And if you do still have body fat to lose, it's perfectly safe for you to stay in a deficit. It's only when you start to get very, very lean, and you know, we're talking like getting down to like essential levels of body fat, that it starts to have huge ramifications re your hormonal health and physical health on a very, very many levels. So is it safe? Perfectly, yeah. But we need to look at psychology and physiology once again. Emma?
Yeah, totally agree. It's absolutely safe. And I think that people get a bit confused with this because there doesn't, how long should I be in fat loss? But it's like, well, how much fat do you have to lose? Like, if you've still got fat to lose, it's totally safe to stay in fat loss. As Chloe's saying, there might be psychological reasons why you might not want to do that long term, if that's impacting you. But that isn't the same for everyone. And I think it's very easy to project, like, your experience of potentially being in a deficit for a long time onto someone else, and to think, well, when I was on 1600 calories, I felt like this, that's everyone else must feel like this. It sounds to me from this comment that you're really happy on 1600, that life works pretty well for you on that, and that when you have reached a point where you're happy with your body composition, we just increase your calories. And again, like, this doesn't have to be a big scary thing. Like, I've spoken about this before, but when I went from a deficit post-surgery up to maintenance, I just added in 2 pieces of peanut butter on toast. Like, my diet stayed pretty much the same. I just added those things in. And actually, if you do it in that way without making a huge overhaul to your diet, not only is it psychologically easier, but it also means that you can, like, you know what's changed, thus you can change it back if you needed to, or if you wanted to. It just kind of gives you a little bit more control over it, rather than feeling like you're completely changing everything. You're like, also from a psychological perspective, can that actually be making me put on a load of body fat? No. Even though we know coming up to maintenance, your weight will increase due to food volume, due to glycogen stores, due to normal fluctuations, and that's completely normal. When you know what you've actually added in, it makes it much easier to sort of mentally deal with that, which is why a lot of people go up to maintenance and then diet again, and then go up to maintenance and diet again, and then actually kind of fall into a bit of a yo-yo pattern, which we don't want to happen to you. But that is a bridge that we will cross when you're ready to come up to maintenance.
Yeah. If you're worried about it, or you're like, if I said, you know, about the body fat thing, and you're like, well, I don't know, just upload a photo, and, you know, it's a weird thing to say, because if Emma and I are like, no, you still have some body fat, so you're good. You know, it's purely like an objective coaching point to, like, you're fine. But if you're looking pretty fucking lean, we're likely to say, well, I think we should up your calories.
Yeah, and you can say how restricted you feel. Like, restriction isn't a calorie number. It isn't a size of deficit, really. It's more your interpretation of that. So people could feel very restricted on at maintenance calories, even if they're depending on their mindset around things, or even in the surplus.
So that happens all the time.
Yeah, especially if you've got food rules. Like, you can be in a surplus, and if you're telling yourself that you can't have this, or you can have that, or that this is good and this is bad, then you can feel really restricted, even though you're taking in more energy than what you actually need at the time. And Chloe's right, like, if we see a photo of you and we're like, oh no, you can continue dieting, all we mean is, we're not saying you need to or that you should, we're just saying you have excess energy, thus it's not dangerous for you to still be in a deficit. That's essentially what we're saying. We're not here to judge your bodies.
No, God, no. And I have excess energy right now, and I don't care. It's fine. Okay. Do we have anything on the live? Guys, I always feel a bit offended when no one's
listening. Sorry. I had a mouthful of aloe vera.
My aloe drink. Okay. Well, then this is the last. Hello.
Hello.
There's a last
question. I actually just had a vision that I had saved some posts.
Fuck. Sorry. Sorry, carry on. Fine.
Okay, where were they?
Did anyone just see that, or is it just me?
What?
I don't want to say because I sound like a dick. Carry on.
What, was it something I did?
Shit, did you just see that? No, I don't want to say because I'll sound like a dick, but it really freaked me. Such a shock. Carry on.
Okay. I can't remember why I saved this now. I'm just going to read it out and maybe it will become clear to us all. It's from Laura. She says, fell into the fuck it bucket last week and still trying to crawl out. Those middle aisles with the Christmas stuff and all of the chocolates and biscuits at work have drawn me in. Struggling to not have 15 biscuits if I have one. Feel like I should have cracked that by now. Meals are healthy and workouts are still happening. It's just the bloody snacking. I am, however, finding H... not to let it take over my thoughts, because I listened to the lot. Maybe she's saying she finds it's not taking over her thoughts because she listened to the last few lives recently and thought, I really need to focus on the positives and all the habits and imperfect action that I'm doing. I actually like my body. It's strong and I have muscles and I can do pull-ups. Like Chloe said, that's the point in life of working to get mega ripped and then staying there forever. Oh, sorry. What's the point in life? Not that's the point. I was like, that doesn't sound like something Chloe would
say. That is the sole goal for all of you. Get fucking shredded and stay there.
Why enjoy your life when you could just be miserable and shredded? And then she says, you'd be miserable sacrificing your whole life. So why have I been trying to, quote unquote, lose that last half stone for about 15 years? The quote from Emma along the lines of, nothing is as fatiguing as the eternal hanging on of an unfulfilled goal.
Very good.
Was a quote from me by someone else, by the way. I'm not that eloquent, unfortunately. Really hit me. Whoa, that's my whole adult life, trying to diet and perceiving that I've always failed as I don't look exactly like a fitness model. That cycle is exhausting. Really need to continue working on this mindset, even after almost a year with the EC method. Think I may just have to sign up again. I think I just wanted to touch on that because I think that mindset thing is a really important part, that a lot of people are just pushing themselves to reach goals. And this often happens when you're pushing yourself to reach a goal that actually you don't want enough to put the effort in to get there, which is so fine, absolutely fine. But as soon as you kind of admit that to yourself, then you stop beating yourself up and you stop putting so much pressure on yourself. And when you do that, the whole process becomes that little bit easier. Like often what happens is when you take the pressure off a goal, it's actually easier to get to that goal, and you find that actually you start enjoying the process a little bit more and you stop resenting the process. So I'm really glad that you've sort of come to that realization.
Yeah, and you should feel really proud that you're even reflecting on it, because it took me years to start thinking about these things and reflecting on them. And when that ball starts rolling, you just get stronger and stronger and stronger with your relationship with yourself, your own relationship with food, your own relationship with your body. And you start to have a really nice understanding of when it's appropriate to maybe diet because you want to feel better about, you know, being in a bikini in 2 months' time. And that's fine. Like, we're all women, we're all human. That's okay. And when actually it's like, why am I dieting? Why am I doing this? Like, it's Christmas. I'm not getting naked for anyone but myself, my husband, whatever, my wife, whatever it is. Why am I doing this right now? This is ridiculous. You know, and this is where, you know, you just need to be health and fitness minded. You know, are you getting in your steps? You know, it's metabolically very healthy. It's a healthy kind of target to hit every week. You know, am I working out, you know, at least 3 times a week? You know, am I, you know, making sure that even though I'm not, you know, necessarily in a deficit, that I'm not, you know, living in the fuck it bucket, because that's massively unhealthy too. I'll just take care of myself. I'll just take care of my body and I'll park fat loss, because, you know, there's so much more to life. And it's perfectly okay to be like, no, I have a goal, and it is a physical goal. It's a physique goal. And I know that mentally it's going to make me feel better at some point. That's wonderful. But there is more to life than always having that. That's the thing that's going to make you feel better. Sometimes it really is going out for a meal with your family and not overly stressing about the menu, but being like, fuck it. Like, you know, and I'm really happy that all of you and everything I've read in the last few weeks really showing me that you're all doing that work. And it's, that's what Emma and I want more than anything. We don't give a fuck how you look. That's for you.
It's how you feel, right?
Yeah. And that's what we're here to do, really.
The mindset wins are like incredible. Like, that's what we really care about. And actually, as you were talking, I was like, one good thing that everyone could do, and in fact, I really want everyone listening to this, whether you're on the EC method or not, and you've got a fat loss goal, is write down, like, get a piece of paper and write down why you want to lose fat.
Yes.
And yes, ask what you think that's going to look like. And this helps on numerous levels, but it's really helpful with like scale weight obsession as well, because realistically, you don't want to lose fat to weigh X on the scales. You want to feel a certain way. You want to look a certain way. You want to be able to perform a certain way. You think that, and a lot of these things are bullshit. Sometimes people are like, I think that people will like me when I'm skinnier or when I weigh less. And actually, when you write that down, you're like, is that true? Like, so whatever you're writing, why do I want to lose fat? And you're going to have a list of reasons. And then you're going to ask yourself, are any of these true? Like, do I need to lose fat to wear a bikini? No, that's bullshit. Do I need to lose fat so people will respect me more? No, that's bullshit. Do I need to lose fat because society's telling me to, or I want to look a certain way or whatever? Like, you kind of break these down and you're like, okay, that might, I'm not saying that a fat loss goal might not still be your goal, but it takes the pressure off and it makes you realize, I don't need to wait till I've lost fat to wear a bikini, to be confident, to be liked by other people, to go on dates, to like do any of these things that you're kind of like pausing until you get to that end point.
Yeah.
And then you start living your life while you're reaching your goals. And that massively helps with the impatience thing as well, because a lot of people are delaying their happiness or essentially like large parts of their life until they reach this arbitrary goal.
Yeah.
Actually, they could be living their life now. And that means that you're not like wishing time away, but it also means that you accept that, yeah, doing this right takes time. It's not going to be an 8-week quick fix. Like, it takes time to lose body fat. It takes time to learn these things. It takes time to rethink how you're thinking about food and develop your relationship with food again. So that's an exercise that we would love you all to do.
Yeah, and you know, when you write down why are you doing this? Question, and this is kind of exactly what I'm saying to a T, question that why.
Yeah.
Why is that my why? Like, so this is my why is that my why? And I completely agree with Emma, taking the pressure off is when, I'm not in, you know, shredded shape right now by any means. I'm not lean by any means, but I'm in a really nice spot with my body because I've got put no pressure on it. I just don't, I'm very, very kind of in flux with the whole approach. And that, again, took fucking years. So it just makes, I'm just repeating myself. It just makes us happy that you guys are all reflecting on this. And that's what we want. We're done for questions, unless you've got anything else on the live.
Yeah, we've got a couple. So could you please recommend a creatine powder?
Monohydrate,
go to somewhere like bulk powders or MyProtein, Amazon, like literally anywhere, just get creatine monohydrate. Don't get anything added to it. Easy, perfect, done. Canchan, I got a bit pissed yesterday and my arms and hands look very veiny. Is that due to dehydration from the wine?
Yeah, you can look quite vascular from alcohol consumption. It's really interesting, these specific types of alcohol as well will have a specific effect. But yeah, it can definitely see you drop water and look tighter and more vascular. However, it is short-lived. It will catch up with you in a matter of hours.
Yeah, I think I was just thinking about that actually. Why is it alcohol specifically? And I think part of it might be because alcohol drops your core body temperature a little bit because your blood flow is directed more peripherally, like to the outer regions.
Yeah.
And so that might mean that you do get more vascular that way as well. And also like the pulse.
That's what I think when people say peripheral, when people like PNF, I'm like,
peripherally.
Every time it's like little dinky fingers on the sides. Anyway, carry on.
Oh, she says, is it really I woke up puffy today? I mean, it could literally be anything.
But it also, it also correlates hand in hand with food intake. So yeah. It'll work in some scenarios, but it won't work in other scenarios depending on your intake that day, evening, whatever.
Yeah, so for example, like bodybuilders drink white wine to like dry themselves out before a show, but they're not eating a load before that. Anyway, yeah, it will dehydrate you a little bit, especially the next day, but really the immediate increase in vascularity is probably more due to that.
Full body. Yeah. That's really interesting. I never even broke it down in my head. I never even questioned it. It just is. And then you talk about it, I'm like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I drank so much white wine with my brothers last night. I'm amazed that I'm even alive today to do this. Is that it?
Great. Yeah, that was it. That's it. Yeah. So everyone get very excited about January. And if you haven't graduated and you haven't signed up yet, sign up because you'll be missing out.
And I'm back working today, so I will be getting back to all of you.
Okay, love you all.
Bye. Bye.